Welcome to episode 58 of the Speak On It podcast with your host T-Lip, man. Back with another one. You feel what I'm saying? Hey, I'm always here to spread the good gospel, man. Or the bad gospel, however you take it. If you're listening, appreciate you. Love you. Share the pod, man. Send it to your friend. This ain't like First Take It. This ain't like all the other shows you see on TV, man. I'm going to give a little personality. I'm going to give some facts and opinions as well. I think I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. But, hey, if you think I don't, let me know in the comments, man. You feel what I'm saying? But, hey, it was a big Monday Night Football game last night, man, regarding the Eagles and the Seahawks. They traveled all the way to Seattle to play the Seahawks. Sure, that was a long flight. But, Eagles lost. Eagles damn near had to lead the entire game. They went into halftime up 10-3. And at one point in the game, it was 17-3. Let me see. I think for sure at one point of the game, it was 17-3. No. It was 10-10. And then it went 17-10. So it was 17-3. I mean, not 17. I'm tripping. It was not 17-3. But the Eagles had the lead basically the entire game up until, like, the last drive where it was 17-13. But Eagles lost three games in a row, man. I'm wondering if the Eagles have peaked too early. When they were winning a lot of those games, you know, they had beat the Dolphins, then they beat Washington, then they beat the Cowboys. Then they beat the Chiefs and they beat the Bills. So that was a five-game stint where they went 5-0 and beat basically four elite teams. The Chiefs, the Bills, the Cowboys, and the Dolphins. They'd beat all four of those teams within five games. So that was a tough, very, very tough five-game stretch. And I'm wondering now if that took a lot out of them. They were making mistakes in those games that they were winning, but when you win in, the mistakes are not highlighted as much. There were things going on in the organization. You were seeing A.J. Brown on the sideline arguing with either Jalen Hurts or the coach or just being frustrated. You were seeing things going on the defensive end that just didn't look like a championship defense. And obviously we see that they demoted their defensive coordinator, Sean. I forget his last name, but they demoted him and made Matt Patricia the head play caller for this past game. This was his first game calling plays this game. So they demoted the original defense coordinator. So obviously there was things that wasn't being communicated, that wasn't going on. They were lacking, but they were winning at first, so it was okay. And sometimes shit seem to be okay when you're winning. But the bigger picture, you know that this ain't going to be the last a long time. Obviously, Jalen Hurts was sick. I guess he had some type of illness to where it was questionable if he was going to play. Geno Smith did not play. Drew Lock played. Jalen Hurts was 17 for 31, 143 yards, throwing two interceptions. You can't turn the ball over on the road. You can't turn the ball over, period, but you can't turn the ball over on the road. Turnovers and touchdowns is a way to just get your crowd, get the home crowd into it, into the game even more. It's just a way to get them into the game even more. And then you playing in Seattle with the 12th man, a winning franchise, a winning coach, a winning organization with a great fan base, they going to be turned when they catch that interception and, you know, change the game around. Sudden change. It's big time. Jalen Hurts also had 13 carries for 82 yards. He had one tush-push touchdown. And another one, it was like a draw where he scrambled to the left side. It was inside like the 5-yard line. And then Swift also added on 18 carries for 74 yards. Gainwell had 6 carries for 21 yards. A.J. Brown had 5 catches, 56 yards. Devontae Smith had 5 catches for 50 yards. Goddard had 4 catches for 30 yards. From what I'm seeing about the Eagles' offense, it's kind of – there's no it's very basic, you know. It's very first and second down, we're going to run the ball. Or, you know, we're going to find some type of way to run the ball. We might throw a screen on one of these downs. Third down, we're going to run to the markers. We're going to run China. When I say China, I mean the little in route that A.J. Brown always catching. He catches like a little in route and five-yard in route where the in the slot probably running a takeoff. He's probably running a clear out or he's running a corner route. So it can put isolation. So it can take that hook the curl defender out of there and leave A.J. Brown to catch the ball and turn into some yak yardage because he's a guy that's really, really tough to get down if he catches the ball. But this offense is not really complex, man. They are missing their coach from last year. Obviously, they lost their two coordinators from last year. Stighton, he's the head coach for the Colts right now. I mean, you look at that offense, they're playing really well, even with a backup quarterback in Gardner Minshew. And the defensive coordinator they lost is the Cardinals' head coach right now. And he has that team playing really playing tough. They haven't gave up, even though the Cardinals are 3-11 or 3-12. They haven't gave up. They believe in their coach, and that's what you want to take from this season. Like, there were so many things coming out of that Cardinals organization about one of the worst organizations. You got to pay for your own food when you're in a building. It's like it was so much things going on with that organization, but he has seemed to stabilize them very well. The Eagles are missing two coordinators, and now you have two new coordinators calling the plays, and this is their first time doing that. So it's going to be some type of, you know, fall. And we're seeing that. Obviously, the defense coordinator has failed from the position. He's not even calling plays no more. Matt Patricia is. Offense coordinator is just very basic. What are they going to do? The defense, obviously, Slay didn't play. I think, didn't Darius Leonard sign with them? He hasn't played yet. I think it's been a couple weeks. He hasn't played yet. Their defense is just, you know, you got Bradbury giving up the game-winning touchdown basically in a two-minute drill versus a rookie. This is a corner that makes, you know, over $10 million a year. You would expect for that corner to be able to, you know, stand up in that position. But, I mean, shit, the rookie from Ohio State, JSN, he pretty good, and he got hands, so it ain't going to be easy guarding him anyway, but you would expect them guys to make some plays. They weren't able to sack. They sacked Drew Lock twice. But you need more. You need turnovers. They didn't have any turnovers. Drew Lock didn't turn the ball over. Moving over to the Seahawks. Drew Lock was 22 for 33, 208 yards, one touchdown, and 92 of those yards that he had came on the last minute game-winning drive, man. Seahawks got the ball on their own 8-yard line with under 2 minutes left. They had to drive the ball 92 yards because they was down by four, so they couldn't kick a field goal. They were down by four. And Drew Lock led them down there, throwing pinpoint passes to Metcalf, throwing two big passes to Metcalf. On a third down, man, making some very accurate passes, very timely passes. And the pass he threw to JSN in the red zone, probably around like the 25, 30-yard line, to win the game on a touchdown, pinpoint pass, great pass. It was raining. If you see the slow-mo of the catch, you see that it's literally raining. And he still made a fingertip catch in the rain. It just shows that, man, that's that Seattle weather, man. That's that Seattle dream. Drew Lock looked good last night. Didn't turn the ball over. Got the ball to his weapons. Especially more in the second half. The first half was kind of slow a little bit, but the second half, he was able to get the ball to guys. Walker, K9, Kenneth Walker, 19 carries for 86 yards, one touchdown. He is a playmaker out of that backfield. He also had three catches for 26 yards. Over 100 yards all purpose. He's a weapon out of that backfield, running the ball or catching the ball. He's a home run threat right now. Period. Like, he is a guy that you need to feature in your offense. And knowing that you have a backup quarterback starting because Geno Smith didn't play and you was able to get the ball to K-9, get the ball to Metcalf, protect the ball, and win a big Monday Night Football game versus the Eagles, that's a big win because you keep your playoff hopes alive. This is a Seahawks team that didn't lose. They have lost 4 games in a row. Previous to winning last night, they had lost 4 games in a row. So they needed this win. Great win for the 49. I mean, great win for the Seahawks, man. That was a great win for them. They definitely needed that to keep their playoff hopes alive. This is a bad loss for the Eagles, man. They on a 3-game losing streak. It hasn't been that way. You feel me? They started off 10-1. They started off this year 10-1. Last year I think they was about like 12 or 13-0 last year. So they're facing some adversity right now, and we're gonna see how they turn it over. Eagles are now the just so happened. The Eagles are second in their division right now. The Cowboys are first in the division right now. So the Eagles are officially the 5th seed right now. And the Cowboys are the 2 seed right now. So just something to think about, man. That's a little different, man. These last 3 games going to mean something. But the Eagles can be in trouble. Hopefully they didn't peak too early, man. But they got some things to figure out. And if they don't figure it out, they're going to be going home early in the playoffs. So they got to figure that out. Moving on from that, man, let's hop over into this. Let's hop over to some news in the NFL. I'm hearing that the Falcons have benched Desmond Ridder again. He's been benched again. He's just not really a good NFL quarterback right now. I'm not saying he can't be a great quarterback, you know, later on in his career once he get experience and quality coaching and, you know, the situation around him is better. The Falcons just got a lot going on, you know. They just got a lot going on. And he hasn't – they gave him the opportunity, though. I will say that. They gave him the opportunity to be the number one, the starter all offseason. They didn't sign a quarterback. They was one of the ones that said, oh, we're not signing Lamar Jackson. We're out on the Lamar Jackson talks. I bet y'all want Lamar Jackson now. I bet y'all regret that making that decision now. I don't know what y'all was talking about in the offseason. We're not interested in Lamar Jackson. We're good with Desmond Ridder. Y'all done benched him twice this season. How good are y'all with him? Franchises to not making the right move. Not making the right move at all. It's all good. But obviously Tyler Heineke is going to be the quarterback. They still have a chance to make the playoffs. Only way they'll probably do that is if they win the division. And I think they still have a slight chance of winning the division. Let me see how tied it up it is. Let me see. Yeah, they have a chance. They are the 3rd seed in their division. They 6-8. The Buccaneers are 7-7. So these last couple games is going to mean something to them as well. But we're going to see if they're going to be able to make it, man, because that's – we don't know. But moving on with that, let's move over to the basketball. Clippers are on a hot streak right now. Clippers on an 8-game winning streak. James Harden just went crazy last night, having a time in the game where he scored 18 points in a row. He ended the game with 35 points in 28 minutes and 9 assists. He had 8 threes in the game. Paul George returned back to Indiana. He had 27 points. He had 5 threes in the game as well. Kawhi Leonard had 28 points. Just look at that shit. You got 3 guys right now that had over 28 points. Then you had Zubac that had 18 points. And you had Norman Powell that had 19 points. They scored 151 points, by the way. 151 points. And no overtime, no nothing. Just 12 minutes in the quarter. 48-minute game, they scored 151 points. Just look at all that help that Kawhi Leonard got. If Kawhi Leonard was to miss 10 games, Paul George and James Harden can still handle business. With Bradley Beal being out right now, the Suns can still handle business with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. We already know what Giannis was without Dame Lillard. He was a champion. He was already doing his thing without Dame Lillard. What the Lakers got? They don't have no elite bucket getters. LeBron James is not an elite bucket getter right now, especially not during the regular season. Because he's like, damn, why I got to do everything, bro? Why do I have to do everything? Like, I'm about to be 39. I'm about to be 39. Y'all paid all these guys that we were just so hype about. Rui, he got 50-something million. Reeves, you know, Reeves doing okay, but shit, he ain't him. He ain't playing like him. He ain't a big three. He ain't a part of that. He a nice player. You got D'Lo. Please don't get me started on D'Lo. D'Lo's so fucking irritating. D'Lo, man. I can't wait till he out of a Lakers jersey. Or I'm going to just say off LeBron's team because I don't really care about the Lakers like that. I just fuck with Bron and fuck with the squad. I wasn't even a Laker fan when Kobe was playing for the Lakers. I ain't going to lie to y'all. I wasn't a big Kobe fan either. Like, rest in peace to the King for sure, all of that. But I wasn't a big Kobe fan. Like, I wasn't one of those guys that was just like, oh, my God, Kobe was just, he's just so good. I was like, man, all he doing is scoring points. That was me. That was me just talking to John. And then I didn't like Kobe because everybody else liked him. You feel me? I seemed to go the opposite, you know. I was more of a D-Wade guy. Like, I rock with D-Wade in 05 when he won a championship. I even rocked with him from shit, from 06 to 10 till LeBron got there. Like, even he was flash at that time. They was losing, but he was getting buckets. He was doing his thing. So I was a D-Wade guy. I messed with Dirk Nowitzki too. D-Wade and Dirk was my guys. Really wasn't a big, like I said, never was a Lakers fan. I'm still not a Lakers fan. I just want to see LeBron get another ring. But the Lakers don't have no help, bro. Like, this team ain't. And please, man, Darvin Ham, he is trash as a coach, man. Darvin Ham is trash, bro. I don't know what he do. And this is the second year that I'm seeing this. I don't know what he do. What do he do? Do he motivate people? Like, he's a motivator? What? Like, I don't know what he does. What does he specialize in? Is it offense? Is it defense? Is it plays out of the timeout? Is it game management? Because he do all of that shit bad, bruh. Or everything I just named, his handprint is not on it. And y'all be mad when LeBron wanted Ty Lue. Remember LeBron wanted Ty Lue before Frank Vogel got there? And they was like, no, we're going to have to pick his staff. What? Ty Lue has got the Clippers playing really well. And I'm not even talking about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I'm talking about all of the guys around them. For years, as long as Ty Lue been the coach for the Clippers, he's always got guys around them to play consistent basketball, knowing what they need to do, knowing where they need to be, knowing their role. Coaching, bruh. Like, bruh, Brian can't coach, play, score 45 points, guard the best player, all of that shit in year 21. You can't do that, bro. We need an elite bucket getter. D'Lo, Rui, and maybe a couple more guys got to go, bro. They have to go. They have to go. They have to go. Rui has to go. Rui played 17 minutes yesterday. He had 8 points. Think about it, though. Why he only playing 17 minutes? Because I seen him play in games. I seen him play games where he played 30 minutes and he still probably only had 8 points. Rui is not a bucket, bro. Rui is a real slow-paced, old-school basketball player. He not a great three-point shooter. Yeah, he probably going to knock some down. But he can't create his own shot. He got the little mid-range shit. But he going to miss some of those and he going to make some of those. It ain't legit like Kawhi Leonard's. It ain't just knocked down like Chris Paul's. It ain't that. It's like, oh, well, he shot it and he made it. All right, good job. He don't get hot. D'Lo don't get hot. D'Lo had 9 points last night. 28 minutes, 9 points. D'Lo don't show up in games, bro. He literally goes missing. That ice cold shit is really him. When he say he got ice in his veins, it's really him. Like, he's either ice cold or he cold, bro. And it's just like, man, we don't need that up and down bullshit when you the one that got the ball in your hand every time coming down the court. You controlling the pace. You controlling the game because you the point guard. This shit just weak, bro. I'm just tired of this mediocre-ass team that they keep putting around LeBron James. I've been wanting to get rid of D'Lo. Even last year when he rolled his ankle against the Warriors in the regular season and a motherfucker missed like 12 games. Dog missed 12 games, bro. Off a little minor roll of an ankle. It wasn't even a big roll, bro. He missed 12 games when we needed him to be there because Brown was already injured for damn near 25 games toward the end of the season. We needed D'Lo to be there to help fucking win games. Some of those games we lost because we didn't have D'Lo there. But it's like when he playing, he giving us 9 points. When he playing, he giving us 9 points. 3-for-6 from the 3-point line. And people going to be like, oh, we shot 50%. Let me go over here. The Knicks quickly hit 3 threes off the bench yesterday for them. D'Lo hit 3 threes yesterday. Jordan Poole hit 8 threes yesterday. 8. Keegan Murray hit 4 threes yesterday. Keegan Murray just had a 48-point game. Didn't he have like a 40-something point game? Almost a 50-point game? Where D'Lo at? Colin Sexton had 27 points last night. He hit 3 for 7 from 3-point line. THT, a former Laker, hit 5 threes yesterday. And we stuck with this guy, Malik Monk, balling right now. We stuck with D'Angelo Russell. A very unserious player, bro. He's very childlike-minded. And that's a good thing sometimes. That's a bad thing sometimes because he keep the energy going on with the team and things like that. But he can't lock it in and play serious, focused basketball because he's still childish to a certain extent. The Lakers are in trouble, man. If they don't make a trade, if they don't make a big trade and get a Donovan Mitchell or a Zach LaVine or shit, possibly a Lauri Markkanen or, quiet as kept, a Kyrie Irving. His name ain't really been in it. Who knows if Dallas is really high on him like they talking about. You feel me? Who knows? Because who knows? And that, remember the whole Kyrie Irving to the Lakers talk? We knew about that big time. And the Mavericks can look good without Kyrie Irving. We got two guys for y'all that can come over there. We got Rui. Y'all can have Rui. Hopefully he can give y'all some points and some offense that y'all need. And y'all can get D'Lo. Or y'all can, you know, get D'Lo, trade him to another team and get somebody or whatever. We got guys for y'all. Y'all can use some of this shit and give us back Kyrie. Because y'all ain't going to use Kyrie, right? That's Luka's team. And he going to have the ball in his hand at all times. The Lakers need a bucket getter, a go-getter that can score points in the first quarter. The Lakers are the worst first quarter team in the NBA. The worst. You know why? Because they don't have no guys that can go out there and just get a fucking bucket. Torian Prince need a shot to be created for him. Cam Reddish need a shot to be created for him. And they ain't going to knock down no shot like that either. Anthony Davis is a guy that needs a shot to be created for him. LeBron James, at this point in his life, I'm not about to keep asking LeBron to go out there and score 15 in the first quarter and score 15 in the fourth quarter. Like, bro, come on, bro. We need somebody to fucking get the engine started in the first quarter. This team come out lackadaisical, no effort, low effort, just going through the motions all game until like the fourth quarter, third quarter, until it's too late. That's why you need a gas starter, a scorer, an elite scorer that can score without a play, without a pick and roll, without a screen, without any of that, that can just go and get buckets, that can get hot right now, that can give you 10 points, roll off 10 points quick, put pressure on the other team offense. Lakers ain't putting no pressure on the other team offense. They know if y'all start making shots, it's lucky. That's what other teams know. They walk into the Lakers arena and they be like, bro, they not a good shooting team. So if you're not a good shooting team, bro, you're not going to be able to win in the NBA. Period. You're not going to be able to win. You're not going to be able to win. So, man, this shit just getting out of hand. But we're going to see, man. We're going to see what the Lakers got for the rest of the season, man. We're going to see how they finish this year off. Hopefully, they don't get blew out on Christmas playing against Boston. But knowing the Lakers, they might get blew out on Christmas again like they did last year. Last year, they lost to the Mavericks. I think they damn near got beat by 20 points. They were down by like damn near 30 in that game. It's like, bro, y'all embarrassing, bro. Y'all just ain't even playing hard. Then the coach just got his hands in his pockets the whole time. He ain't yelling. He ain't getting no texts. He ain't, you feel me, getting ejected. He ain't sparking no energy into this team. And it's just looking like, bro, you, what are you scared of? Do you not know what you're doing? I don't think you know what he's doing. That's just me, though, man. That's all I got for y'all today, man. It was a quick episode. Kind of wanted to talk about the Monday Night Football game and talk briefly about some of these basketball games going on. Timberwolves won a great game down there, Miami. They taking their talent down to Miami and won the game. Timberwolves look good, man. And Edwards, Mr. Send the video, is balling out. He leading that team right now, and they following him. He's that engine. And they already got a great defensive team around him, but he's that engine on offense that can get a bucket and score a bucket whenever he needs to, whenever he wants to. He can get hot and score 15 points in a row. This team is dangerous, man. Watch out for them Wolves, for real. They ain't nothing to play with. But that's all I got for y'all today, man. If you joined the podcast today, man, if you listen, I appreciate you. Tell a friend, share it, all that good stuff, man. Speak on the podcast. Lip out.